So, nice weather today.
Yeah, unseasonably cool. I guess we can forget that whole global warming myth.
Global warming is not a myth, you son of a...
Yeah, you get the idea. Here we go. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Monday. At this point, all of you should be aware that Governor Gordon has finally been called out on all of his climate change nonsense. I shouldn't say all, because let's be honest, he's been saying crazy stuff about climate change for a really long time. Until very recently, he hasn't been so, well, how do you put it, out in the open about it, but he has made several comments that would lead you to believe that he is not a fan of Wyoming's extractive industries. All of them. He said this at Harvard.
It is clear that we have a warming climate. It is clear that carbon dioxide is a major contributor to that challenge. There is an urgency to addressing this issue, and it isn't going to be solved only by turning off fossil fuels.
Only by turning off fossil fuels, which would mean, of course, that it includes turning off fossil fuels.
Whoa, I think you got to stop and take a look at what you're doing here. I speak against this because it kind of reminds me of that fairy tale, Cinderella.
Yeah, I agree. It is a fairy tale. But really, climate change is a fallacy of correlation. Just because two things happen contemporaneously doesn't mean that one caused the other. The term in logic for it is post hoc ergo propter hoc. I know, it's a lot of fun to say, but it literally means after this, therefore, because of this. In other words, if you walked under a ladder, and then 5 minutes later you slipped and broke your ankle, you didn't break your ankle because you walked under the ladder, you broke it because you slipped on something. Let me give you a better example. Let's say you're trying to determine why drownings go up in the summer. Through your research, it is revealed that the consumption of ice cream also increases at the same rate as drownings during the summer. Eureka! You have discovered why drownings are happening. Because of ice cream. Not so much. But what you also could have concluded is that more people eat ice cream during the summer because it's hotter and ice cream is cold and it cools them down. And you could determine that because it is hot, more people go swimming and therefore more people drown. Or, as the good governor and all of his egg-headed pals at Harvard have concluded, that more people are dying from drowning during the summer because it's hot. Yes, this whole debate really is that stupid. And the governor wants you to believe that if we stop all fossil fuels and make our state entirely carbon negative, then we'll solve this whole global warming thing. Yet another failure in his logic, of course, because he's assuming that global warming is a thing. Not to worry, though. The current resident of Wyoming's governor's mansion, Mark Gordon, has been called out by Senator Sherry Steinmetz and a number of conservative legislators. It would appear that we're going to have a debate. Or at least Senator Steinmetz and her colleagues have challenged the governor to a debate and he's publicly accepted. You know how these political things go. A lot of times they don't exactly come to fruition. I spoke with Senator Steinmetz last night to get her take on this whole debate thing. After the break, I'll let you in on that conversation. This morning's installment of Morning Reload is brought to you by Morton Buildings. They're the experts in metal building construction. Doesn't matter what type of building you're thinking about for your property, give Nick and Jesse a call. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can just check them out on their website, mortonbuildings.com. Today's program is also brought to you by New Trend Hats. It's cold outside, or at least it's going to be, and you definitely don't want your ears to fall victim to it. Go to New Trend Hats. They've got a wide selection of hats for both men and women that are sure to keep the top of that head of yours nice and toasty warm. That's newtrendhats.com. On with the program. Last night, I caught up with Senator Sherry Steinmetz to ask her about the debate challenge and Governor Gordon's acceptance of it. Here's our conversation. For the first time on Cowboy State Politics, Senator Sherry Steinmetz. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, David. Nice to be with you today.
Glad you had time in your busy schedule. I know that you're a busy lady here recently. So let's talk about your debate challenge to the good Governor Gordon.
Well, yes. I believe that a policy change as large as the one as he is proposing for the state of Wyoming that will affect our economy and our citizens should be debated, should be decided upon, and should be based in fact. So,
no, I think it's a heck of an idea.
Yeah, that's the reason for the debate. You know, we do that at the legislature on a daily basis when we're passing policy for the state of Wyoming. We are the policy arm of government. So an issue this big deserves a public debate.
So in your estimation, Senator, what is the policy change? There's been a lot of articles. I've talked about it on my program, but what's your take on the policy that Governor Gordon wants to enact in the state?
Well, he's working to decarbonize the West, not just in our state, but the entire West through the Western Governors Association. He's leading that initiative. And the way that I compare it is very similar to the BLM's new RMP for the Rock Springs area. If you want to look at what the blueprint for decarbonization is, that gives you a very good snapshot of what that blueprint might be. And it's based on the assumption that CO2 is a pollutant and that it is causing global warming. So I think that that's really the crux of our debate is, one, is the earth warming? Two, is CO2 the cause? And three, is it an urgent issue that needs to be addressed by the state of Wyoming? And then four, do we really want to be the first carbon negative state, which is what he purported at Harvard? So those are the issues at hand.
Well, I question whether it's even possible to be quote unquote carbon negative. I don't even really know what that term means, but just listening to what Governor Gordon has said, I take it to mean fossil fuels included and everything else related to it, because that's pretty much what he said at Harvard.
Right. That's exactly right. That's how I understood it as well. So I think he needs to come home and explain himself to the citizens of Wyoming.
Now, typically, this would be a major policy shift for the state of Wyoming. What would the legislature's role in such a shift normally be if we didn't have Governor Gordon just doing it on his own?
Well, obviously, it would have to go through the bill process just like any other policy change in the state of Wyoming. So this is more akin to a COVID-type issue where it was more of a unilateral decision.
Now, come on, Senator. Governor Gordon didn't shut down the state. Do you have any dates in mind for this debate?
Our letter mentioned November, late November or December, but I think we need to be sensitive to everyone's time schedule. So I don't think that's a hard and fast thing that we would hold to. However, I think the citizens deserve an answer sooner rather than later, at least before session ends. And I think that that would be appropriate.
How would the debate be set up? I know I asked you this question on the phone, but it wasn't on the program. So would it be you debating Governor Gordon, or would it be your experts, for lack of a better term, versus his experts? Walk us through how you envision this whole thing.
I think that that's to be decided. We've asked that we have an official response by November 17th from the governor's office. And then I would hope that we would discuss how we'd like to structure the debate. We have had an offer from some students at the University of Wyoming to host the debate at UW. But since the press release has come out, or the article from Cowboy State Daily, we've had several people across the state that would like to see the debate in their county and their city. But initially, we've talked about UW. I think that we need to really visit about how we want to structure the debate, if we want to take questions from the audience, things like that. Obviously, the folks on our side, the scientists, are the CO2 Coalition. They're the leading proponents of getting out the appropriate information on CO2 and the role it plays in the world today and has ever since the beginning of time. So those are the scientists we would be relying on to bring the facts for our side of the debate.
My suggestion would be to hold it in a more centrally located place. A lot of times big events like this are held in Casper, just for the simple reason that it's kind of the center of the state and it's easy for people to get to. And a debate like this, I would imagine that it would be pretty well attended and a pretty exclusive event. Not exclusive, not meaning price, but that a lot of people would want to attend it.
Sure. And I think we've talked about Gillette, where that is could be one of the more affected areas of the state. At the Camplex, you know, that being paid for by the very revenue that is at play here. Casper might be a good place where we held the Trump rally. However, those are yet to be decided.
Okay. All right. Well, I think it's a fascinating idea. And I honestly, I have questioned Governor Gordon on this, not in person, but I've questioned his reasoning on this ever since he started talking about climate change or global warming. This is nothing new for Governor Gordon. He's been talking about climate change, though not quite as publicly, since he got elected.
And that's true. That's a fair statement. It's just we hadn't gone down this road. When I first started seeing signs of real concern is when we started entering into the direct air capture, and we were going to basically suck the CO2 out of the air and capture it as well. And the MOU with Governor Polis of Colorado, which has been a leader in the Green New Deal and at the state level. So it's very concerning to many of us. And I'm thankful for the team of legislators that signed the debate challenge and for the strong support we have to see this issue debated and worked so that the citizens of the state can have their say and hear what's going on in a transparent way. All of those legislators want to see the same.
I think the rest of the state wants to see the same. Certainly everybody that I've talked to. Since I have you on the phone, and I know we only have a few minutes this evening, but we have the session coming up. Are there any bills that you're personally going to be running or anything of interest that you'd like to let people know about?
Well, thanks for that question, David. Personally, I'm working on some things that have not come to fruition yet. And as we address this issue, we'll see what comes to fruition individually. However, we've worked on some very important bills on the Ag Committee this year. We were working on the eminent domain statutes because as all of the federal money comes in from the Biden administration to implement the Green New Deal, we're seeing heavy subsidies come in with wind and solar development. So easements and right-of-ways are all subject to that. And as long as private companies are allowed to use eminent domain and there's not a fair process through which that can be utilized by a private company that's receiving subsidies as well as other landowners that might receive a subsidy, it's an unfair balance to those property owners that don't want to see the collector lines across their property. So that's something important. Then we've also drafted a bill in response to the BLM's RMP in Rock Springs that would allow for legislative litigation we could hire our own private counsel. We've appropriated $50 million in order to do that. And that might be a little saber rattling, but we do need to make our stand very clear that we're not going to go down without a fight. Obviously, that's just a draft plan right now, and so it would be a while until there was actually something to litigate. However, we want to be prepared, and we also reasserted state jurisdiction over lands within the border of the state under our federal constitution and our act of admission. So the committee also objected to that draft RMP early on in order to give ourselves standing legally should we choose to sue. So we've been very busy on the Ag Committee. We've got a great group there working on important private property issues and on behalf of the state.
It sounds like you've got a lot of interesting legislation coming up. I'll be looking forward to hearing about it, but I've pretty much taken all of your time. So once again, thanks for coming on the program. And please remember, you're welcome back on the program anytime you like, Sherry.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
That'll do it for today's installment of Morning Reload. Have a good week, and we'll talk again on Wednesday. Don't forget about my live program, which begins on the Independence Network every weekday morning at 9 a.m. Don't forget to like and follow the show. That way you can be notified every time there's a brand new episode of Cowboy State Politics. And as always, you can find everything about the show at cowboystatepolitics.com. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.